Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to hit that subscribe button and a little notify bell next to it. And, oh, I can do it again. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
We already got it, so let's keep going.
Okay. We're also available at patreon.com. I know, but you just hit record on that thing.
Worry about it later.
It's the NXT episode. Who cares? Anyways, we're also available where? Patreon.com/Steven Larson.
I just sat down. You threw me off.
Wherever fine podcasts are. CastBox.
CastBox, yes.
Apple iOS podcast app. Going In Raw. ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw. I'm not wearing that shirt today. I've got a Van shirt on.
I have my Balor Club shirt on today.
Well done, us. Way not to promote our stuff. On the Patreon, if you want to give us $20, we'll give you this. Care package. Comic. Stickers. Yeah, finally, everything's set to go. I got the sticker order in. It's here. I just need you to sign a crap ton of postcards.
Well, I guess that's what we're doing after lunch then, huh?
And then tomorrow, I will be doing nothing but... Well, we're going to have our live show tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And then I will also be doing nothing but Patreon stuff tomorrow.
Mm.
So that's very exciting for people who have been waiting for fucking 2 months. So anyways, yeah. Going In Raw. That's us. Let's talk about... what is this? 205 Live NXT?
Yeah.
Did you notice the 205 Live ratings? It's the first thing I look at.
Oh, no, I didn't notice what they were.
You never look. Number 10.
10.
And there is the week, I think.
It'd be last week. Not this week, but last week's episode, right?
Yeah, not this week's, but last week's. Which
where,
would have included, I think,
Buddy
the greatest.
Murphy might have concussed somebody.
Oh, my God, yeah. That was terrifying. Hell of a match.
I wish Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali would wrestle every week.
I know, my God.
I would never get tired of it.
So, going into their main event match for 205 Live, Buddy Murphy was down 0-1.
Correct.
To Mustafa Ali.
Correct.
This was a hell of a match.
You know how, and I understand completely now why they've been doing the weigh-in stuff. They're trying to make Buddy Murphy the monster heel of 205 Live.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And the fact that he's just
mm-hmm.
barely making weight is the closest they can get to someone who is larger than and can overpower everybody else in the division.
Well, also, it's got that heel stigma to it. Whenever you hear about like a UFC fighter not making weight, which is traditionally kind of where it happens these days. It's always like, oh, that's so... Immediately, they're the bad guy for being, you know, too fat or whatever. Or for not risking
not
their...
Not starving themselves for 2 days in advance of weigh-in. Yeah.
Yeah, not like spending 24 hours in a steam room on a bicycle, on a stationary bike, almost killing themselves.
Yes.
They're the bad guy.
Yeah.
So Buddy Murphy is that. Anyways, the episode, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The entire thing. It started off with... a tag team match, Lucha House Party, Gran Metalik, Lince Dorado versus Jack Gallagher and Brian Kendrick.
That spot where, was it Dorado and Gallagher were doing the reversals of the pinfall attempt?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, rolling around the ring, and they got up and they were both dizzy, which led to another pinfall attempt.
That was
clever.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I like when they do clever stuff like that. You can always, you'll always get that out of Lucha House Party, and to some degree, Jack Gallagher. He's a very clever wrestler. Mm-hmm. It was fun. Drew Gulak was on commentary for this match.
Yeah, apparently he's got a huge issue with Lucha House Party. Of course, they're high flyers.
Well,
he doesn't like high flying.
They're the definitive high flyers. And, of course, you know, what's-his-face, Kalisto, booked as the dumbest wrestler on 205 Live, was the guy who barely squeaked by Drew Gulak in that gauntlet match they had to see who went on to the Greatest Rumble.
Correct.
And so he's got beef with him. But in general, they, you know, number one, they're named after a house party or the movie series House Party.
And he referenced that. He said the only house party he likes was the movie starring Ken Play.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
Yeah.
That's surprising that he would like that series. because everybody's having fun, and his character seems to be anti-fun.
He doesn't seem to be anti-fun. He seems to be anti-fun in the wrestling ring.
Yeah, well, I would think that one would lead to another.
Not necessarily. He's got a very specific vision of what pro wrestling should be within that 20 by 20 ring.
I know. I kind of want to know more about like what other things that he likes and dislikes. I mean, we know he likes lingerie because mm-hmm. he wears that nice mm-hmm. lingerie. And lingerie is fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not traditional just, you know, going to bed garments. It's sexy time garments. Mm-hmm. And so he likes the sexy lingerie.
Yeah.
So I guess he does like fun. You win the point.
Yeah.
See, that's what we do. We collaborate. There's so many unknowns in the world of wrestling.
It really is.
Lots of questions that are unanswered.
Yeah.
We aim to answer them.
Yeah, so really speculate and try to come close to an answer.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, fun match. Lince Dorado got the pin on Jack Gallagher after a shooting star press. Fun things happen.
Yeah, it was a fun match.
Yeah.
It was the most fun match this team of Gallagher and Kendrick has been involved in thus far.
Yeah, that's good. How are you on Gallagher and Kendrick?
Still lukewarm.
That's okay. I do like that when that match is over, Drew Gulak was still in the shot for commentary. Camera moved in on the three-man commentary team, and then you just see like the shadow of Drew Gulak shuffling about, getting up from his chair, trying to be quiet.
Yeah.
Giving it to a PA or something,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And then leaving, all happening on Nigel McGuinness's body. He was just anyways.
He doesn't do that anymore though.
I know, it bums me out that he doesn't do that.
And act like he obviously just ate something before he came out. Salad. Commentary.
Probably salad. Yeah. Or
no, it seems like something like
a heavy meat.
No, like something gets caught in your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Like before we started, I just had some crackers. You know, like it gets a little gummy when you eat crackers.
Yeah.
It gets caught in your teeth a little bit.
He just loves popcorn.
Could be. He's backstage popping popcorn the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you get older, man. Your gums start to recede. So more food gets stuck up in there. Bugs the crap out of me. Anyways.
Can't eat popcorn anymore.
Let's talk about this. How the mighty have fallen. Mustafa Ali's phone promo? iPhone promo?
Well, I mean, it was not exactly the same production value that we were used to.
Hey, kid, I'm going to do one of those cool promos. Can you come out? No?
But I get this great, it's like a you desert setting there? With a railroad track. It's great.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's very cinematic. No? can't
do it. Really? Because I'm like 5 minutes away from you.
Yeah, it was great. There's no one around. It's quiet. It's a great metaphor.
It's awesome. You can't do it?
All right.
Can I borrow your DSLR and have somebody? No? Okay, I'll just do it myself. And the funny thing is, he was looking at himself on the phone, not the little dot that signifies camera. And so he wasn't even looking at us. He was looking right.
He was watching
his performance. He's a mess. If he doesn't have that dude doing it for him, he's a mess.
I wouldn't say he's a mess. It's just, it's such a high bar he set.
Yeah.
And anything less than that's going to
let me ask you
disappoint
something.
A bit.
What were you thinking of the entire? Because what were you thinking of the entire time during this promo?
I was wondering where he shot it.
I was wondering, man, freaking train better not just show up behind this guy. I don't think they would. I don't think they would air and like an iPhone promo death. Or a guy
then
getting,
again, I mean, based on the Shelton Benjamin one, it didn't seem like they QC'd anything.
Right?
So.
What if it just automatically uploads to the cloud and they just run it?
Could be.
And a freaking train rolls up behind him. I was just thinking of the train. And then I was also thinking of your comment during the show the other night when you said, they got to tie him to the tracks.
We went to the show we went to over the weekend. There was a spot where this guy got wrapped in chain. And I asked Steve, are they going to tie him to the railroad track?
Because it was like the loosest chain job.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like obviously he was
for some
like
reason it popped in my head some like the Bullwinkle cartoon or something like that. When,
right.
Snidely Whiplash would tie the what was her name? Gosh, what was her name? I don't remember what her name was.
I don't know, but it was like wasn't that the plot to every silent film?
A lot of them, yeah.
Yeah, like somebody gets tied up on the railroad tracks.
Yeah,
because like that's the only way you could kill somebody back then.
Apparently.
Anyways, yeah, I don't even know what the hell he said because I was just focused on if a train was going to show up or not. And then I was focused on the fact that he wasn't looking at me. He was looking at himself in the camera because I know how that is. I've done that before when we shoot our little, hey, come watch the live show stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, why wasn't I looking at the little camera dot? Anyway, so he delivered some sort of promo on railroad tracks.
Well, it was about Buddy Murphy.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good. Buddy Murphy and Tony Nese then were backstage. Buddy Murphy was kind of giving some advice to Tony Nese, like, hey, go do good. which led into a Buddy Murphy interview where he said, I don't know what he said. He said, it's my time. I'm going to beat up Mustafa Ali. I owe him one or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. He's saying he's only lost once on 205 Live against Mustafa Ali, so I'm going to make up for that loss.
He mentioned something about his the weight check-ins too, right? I forget what it was.
Something like that.
He was like, now that I'm here on 205 Live, and then I got to do these weight check-ins. I forget what he said, but anyways, I like Buddy Murphy. I think he's great.
Yeah, I think he's really good.
Tony Nese. Then had a match against super jobber Keith Clayball.
Wasn't much of a match.
He looked, do you know who All Ego Ethan Page
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. That
holy moly, he looked exactly like him in the face.
He actually responded to that too.
Yeah. Page is more jacked though.
Yeah.
Like significantly more jacked.
Yeah.
This dude was small.
And he got pretty much run over by Tony Nese.
Yeah, it wasn't a short squash match either. This was like a friggin' 20-minute beatdown.
It seemed like Tony Nese was relishing every strike.
Yeah, I thought he was going to go face, but then now he's like heel again.
Yeah, I don't get that.
But he's like, you know, making the most of his potential, mm-hmm. but, you know, in a heel way.
He is, but the thing is, like last week he didn't do any of the counting of the abs or any of that kind of stuff, but this week he did that all again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's back. He needs his own Zelina Vega
well,
to keep
was,
on track.
I know. There was an instance where he was posing a little bit and lost track of his opponent in Keith Clayball. Got a couple shots in on him because of it.
Yeah.
So we're still dealing with, you know, narcissistic Tony Nese versus down to business Tony Nese.
Yeah, keep your eye on the prize there, man.
Yep.
Anyways, he did. He won with Running Nese, which is like the best named finisher in the business.
Pretty good.
Yeah. So yeah, not a surprise he won there. But I'm glad that Keith Clayball got some time on TV.
And he got a couple shots in.
Good for him. Next up, we had an Adeo Itami video package where he was like, I don't know why they put me with that dude, Akira Tozawa. He's trash. I shouldn't be saddled with him. I just like being doing my own thing, man. You do you, Akira.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what he said.
Yeah, so they're going to have one constant in their tag team division, Lucha House Party, and then to cycle in teams around them.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then once that team doesn't beat Lucha House Party, they get broken up.
Yeah, feels that way.
Does feel that way.
I mean, up next has to be Gallagher and Kendrick. They don't win nothing.
Yeah.
So.
And from the beginning, they seem like an odd fit together.
Yeah.
So break them up. Who's next? Drew Gulak and Noam Dar.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. Are they actually going to do a tag division or what? Can't go breaking up tag teams before you have a tag division.
Maybe they're taking a different approach to it, like I said.
An anti-tag team.
You have
division?
One team holding it down,
yeah,
and then a bunch of other teams challenge that team. And then
cool.
If that other team wins, and they hold it down, and then Lucha House Party has to break up.
Oh, then they have to break up. Oh, I like that. That's
That'd be an interesting way because, you know, there's only, what, 14, 16 competitors on 205 Live.
Next week should be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because next up we have this. Drake Maverick and Cedric Alexander backstage chit-chat with the champ section
mm-hmm.
right there.
Mm-hmm.
And Drake Maverick, among other things, said, I guess what, next week we're going to go to the UK and you're going to be competing.
Well, everybody on 205 Live will be competing against members of the United Kingdom division.
Hey-oh. Except Buddy Murphy because he's got work visa issues.
Oh,
no, I have no idea. Oh. That might not be the case. I know he did with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but that's the same thing with Drew McIntyre. He got brought up too late.
Oh, okay.
To get his visa.
All right. Well, hopefully all that's settled. Because I like to see the Buddy Murphy do wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'd be fun to see him versus somebody in the UK division. Who do you think that they're going to put out there in the UK division?
I like to see
Obviously,
him.
It's not going to be Trent Seven.
I'd say him versus
Wolfgang.
Tyler Bate.
Yeah. Jordan Devlin.
All right.
He's been putting on some good matches lately. How about him?
Sure.
Mark Andrews isn't really in the UK division, is he?
No, he's on 205 Live.
He's on 205 Live.
So we'll probably see that match at some
Mark
point.
Mark Andrews versus Mark Andrews.
There you go.
Can we do that?
205 Live Mark Andrews versus United Kingdom division Mark Andrews.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Who goes over?
Has to be 205 Live Mark Andrews,
Why?
Right?
Why? He loses a lot on 205 Live.
But that's the show he's on now.
We all lose because we have to hear that crap theme song twice. That's the answer.
It's not a bad song, man.
Next up,
it's
we had this.
Your thing.
Holy crap match, man. I'm telling you, if you want a good 205 Live match, you can never watch their pay-per-view matches. They're all on 205 Live.
I don't know why they do that. That's probably because they don't have people usually booking their matches or producing their matches, producing the stuff for pay-per-view.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. It's like Michael Hayes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of Jamie Noble or TJ Wilson.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I think Adam Pearce is doing a lot of
Oh, yeah, I think you're right about
Live
that,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever's doing the stuff for 205 Live, especially their main events, is across the board.
Phenomenal work.
Last night was great. Great storytelling. Again, they're really booking Buddy Murphy to be a monster heel on 205 Live.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool take.
This match was outstanding, especially the number of freaking false finishes they had.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. There was all sorts of stuff
that
going
on. That spot
where
Buddy Murphy hit Mustafa Ali with a triple power bomb, and it looked like Mustafa had been concussed, like he was having a seizure in the ring.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He had his arms out rigid.
Yeah, good job, ref, for letting that one go.
I know. But then Mustafa says, "No, I'm fine." Goes to Buddy Murphy, says, "Bring it."
Yeah, that was cool.
That friggin' DDT spot. Where Buddy Murphy was tied up in the ropes.
Yeah.
And the tornado DDT off that. That was crazy.
For me, it was the flipping face buster where he spiked himself.
Oh, I know.
The face buster was, I was like, holy crap, I've never seen anybody sell a face buster spiking themselves. Mm-hmm. That was insane.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy Murphy's the flipping best, man.
Yeah.
When are we going to get like a really bad design shirt for Buddy Murphy?
Soon.
Does he have a pro wrestling tease?
I don't think so. You know the logo, the best kept secret logo he has on his shorts?
Yeah.
It's okay. Just put that on a shirt.
Toss that on a shirt.
Yeah.
There you go.
But then they probably have that logo that he has on his back pocket.
Yeah.
Like huge on the back.
Massive on the back, yeah.
And
there's like a stroke around it, so it's terrible.
Yeah, Mustafa Ali, again, tried to go for the 450 on Buddy Murphy's arm. Buddy Murphy missed and started working with Mustafa Ali's arm. Just great storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Harkening back to their previous match. In the end, Buddy Murphy hits Murphy's Law for the win.
That's maybe the worst shirt, not even like in terms of
That's
wrestlers.
On TeePublic.
I know, it's on TeePublic.
So who knows? I mean, he probably has nothing to do with that.
I don't even think this is Buddy Murphy the wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Let's see if it looks better like on a black shirt. No, it still looks really bad.
Is it just a paw print?
It's like some sort of paw print, but in crayon. Is this like a podcast joke of some sort that we're missing out on?
I don't know.
Did you see Baron responded to one of our friendos?
Oh, no.
You guys need to be careful with that, man. You can't be tagging us in Baron Corbin jokes where you tag him, too.
What was the deal?
So somebody found was it Defy Wrestling? There's some wrestling show going down where the main event is a dude. There's a dude named Darren Corbin. And so this dude tweeted at us and Baron Corbin.
All right.
And said, "I'd be really disappointed if this wasn't Baron Corbin's brother." And Baron responded. And hold on, I'll bring it up right now.
All right.
Here we go. Oh, it's High Res Hero. Baron Corbin responded, "You're good. No disappointment needed. Corbin's forever." Which doesn't, I mean, does that confirm that he's his brother?
No. I don't think so.
If Darren Corbin isn't Baron Corbin's brother, I will be supremely disappointed. And then at Real Going In Raw. And then Baron responds, "You are good. No disappointment needed." Doesn't that confirm that Darren Corbin is Baron Corbin's brother?
I mean, I guess it could. That's weird. At least kayfabe.
Kayfabe, right? And then he said, "Corbin's forever." So I don't know. Oh, he's fighting Joey Ryan.
Oh, wow.
What is this for? Freelance wrestling. That's Darren Corbin.
That's interesting.
So confused. Hey, you're not me. So anyways, because here's the thing. I like Baron Corbin. I don't want anybody to feel bad.
I know.
We have fun.
I know.
I hope he has a good sense of humor about stuff. I don't want to make anybody feel bad.
Exactly.
The character we see on screen makes us laugh, but we want good things for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we want good things for Baron Corbin.
Hey. You're not me. Birds and bees. Okay, anyways.
All right.
Moving on.
Great match. Check it out.
Oh my God, it's amazing. It's amazing. Fantastic. I'm brother.
I was too wrapped up in it to take more extensive notes. Sometimes I just like to sit there and enjoy it.
Who said this? They have a sister named Karen Corbin. Alexi. Hey, I'm not brother. You're brother. All right, NXT. Fantastic episode. Lots of great stuff.
Show kicked off with Ricochet coming down to the ring in a great sports coat.
My gosh. Yeah, he looked like a million bucks.
Dropped the promo saying how he was here Call it arrogant, call it cocky. He's there to take over.
Mm-hmm. That's the everybody has to have their this is my NXT speech.
And he seemed like I had a great ad lib because it sounded like the crowd. I couldn't tell what it was, but
he said, "There's one thing I'm focused on," and somebody said, "Socks."
And he says, "No, not socks."
He said, "No, not socks."
And the crowd popped.
Yeah.
NXT title.
And the out comes
Velveteen Dream.
Yeah, Velveteen Dream comes down. So boom, Dream match set up right there. This is going to be fantastic.
Heck yeah.
This is going to be great. Velveteen Dream comes down, starts being offended. You're going to take my show away from me, my spotlight. And the crowd was pretty split because they were, when the crowd started chanting Ricochet, the other half of the crowd started chanting Velveteen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really fantastic, fairly lengthy promo between these.
Long, yeah.
They let it go for a bit.
They teased a little action at the end. Velveteen Dream was taking off his necklace and then thought better of it, turned around, made a sudden movement to try to catch Ricochet off guard. Ricochet just flinched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Velveteen Dream hit the deck.
Yeah.
Left the ring.
And Ricochet gave him a wink.
A wink.
Yeah, that was cute. So this is going to be freaking awesome. I can't wait to see that match.
And we get, another 5 weeks of NXT television to build the match.
So they'll be on it like twice.
Yeah.
But still, two more segments with these guys, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
And I thought Ricochet did a good job with his promo.
I thought he was fantastic. Next up, Rebel Mendoza versus Ethan Carter III. I am the 1%.
1%.
Yeah. So it's kind of obvious who's going to win this.
Yeah.
Raul Mendoza is truly the gatekeeper. He is the
jobber to the stars.
He's
good though.
He's really good.
He's really good. He's super smooth.
Yeah. He's really good.
EC3 picked up the win, hit a TKO or whatever he calls it
mm-hmm.
to get the pin on Raul Mendoza and then dropped a pretty good interview afterwards.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The interview was funny.
No, it was fantastic. That was great. EC3 is a great, great interview.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already made for main roster. Cause it's not like, you got Ricochet, you got Velveteen Dream, you got these guys that like can super wrestle, and it's not like he's one of them. He's good. He's really mm-hmm, good. Mm-hmm. And he's a good storyteller, but his style is already so suited for main roster.
Oh, I know. I know.
So I wonder how long he's even going to be.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he was there very long. Like Ricochet, and granted, I know he's worked in New Japan and Lucha Underground, so I'm sure he's used to working for highly produced shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see Ricochet sticking around just to learn a bit more about the WWE style versus, for example, EC3.
Yeah, I could see that. I could also see just the idea that NXT always needs that one big star,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he totally fits that.
Oh gosh, yes.
And it's like, I don't know how long it's going to be before Aleister Black goes or Undisputed Era or whatever, but I could see Ricochet being around NXT for a year, not just to get acclimated to the style,
I think that takes some, from what we've heard, he's been super easy to work with so far. I can't remember where we read that. Might have been the newsletter or something.
Mm-hmm.
And a quick learner. So imagine that aspect of it, acclimating himself to WWE's way of doing things would take a matter of a month.
But he's a freaking must-see athlete.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So he's going to draw eyes to the network for sure.
And if he can keep on improving his promos as he has been so far in the short amount of time he's been in NXT, sky's the limit, man.
Oh, absolutely. Getting back to EC3, really great interview afterwards. Said he's going to turn. Again, that was like his... And he already kind of had one of those, but he's reiterating he's going to turn NXT
into NX3.
NX.
I like how he said I'm the best here, there, and anywhere. It's very kind of like Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, I know.
Catchphrase.
And he does the victory after victory after victory after victory.
Yeah.
It's great. Next up, we had an amazing backstage segment. Did this take place after last week, or sometime this week?
It was somewhere backstage at Full Sail.
Yeah, but they were all like, they all had their suits on, so they were good.
They're in their warm-ups.
Yeah, their warm-ups, yeah. Not their wrestling gear. Danny Burch, Oney Lorcan confronting Pete Dunne.
I love Pete Dunne just did this.
That's all he does, I know.
His shrug.
He said, Undisputed Era, Oney Lorcan said, Undisputed Era, they're a bunch of, what do they call them? What do they say? Garbage, something like that? He didn't say scumbags this time, but then he pointed at Pete Dunne and said, but you're garbage too. You know that, right? And he said, we're going to all do this or whatever. I don't know. It was great.
It was
fantastic.
Good.
Oney Lorcan's amazing.
Pete Dunne just shrugs. He gets called garbage, just shrugs.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Because I think he's just, we're all scumbags. So yeah, it was great.
Next, Dakota Kai versus Vanessa Bourne. I'm not that familiar with Dakota Kai's work.
Oh, that's funny. Kyle Steven points out that Velveteen Dream went all top notch.
I'm not that familiar with Dakota Kai's work,
mm-hmm.
but I was really impressed with her ring work. Like she's
been around for a while.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
She's super athletic.
No, I know. She's really good.
Yeah. And her finisher is crazy.
Yeah. The big,
the kind of like destroyer style, backbreaker type deal.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. It's good stuff. She beat Vanessa Bourne, but then the real story of course was afterwards when Shayna Baszler made her appearance and Dakota Kai, like, I really wish the camera would have like panned down to the floor because there would have been a puddle of pee.
She might have pee-peed herself.
She was like shivering. This
and
was
cowering
like,
in the corner.
This was like, you know, some serious PTSD that she had.
Yeah.
Pooping, like they showed like a lump of poop in her pants that she did. It was bad, man. She was like sweaty all of a sudden, like even more sweaty.
Yeah. And so Shayna kind of corners her in the corner and then turn around and starts choking out Vanessa Bourne.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Almost like the challenge Dakota Kai. Come on.
Yeah, do something.
Do something.
Yeah, stop this from happening.
Yeah, but Dakota gets out of the ring.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, man, she's terrified.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she went and, you know, she already peed herself in the ring, so they had to start cleaning that up.
Yeah.
While they did that, there was a Dakota Kai interview backstage, and she was like, oh, I'm so terrified. And then all of a sudden, Shayna Baszler, like, goes, zoom.
I know.
Like, around the corner, she's like, zoom. And then she's like, oh, dear. And then Shayna Baszler says, yeah, do something. And then Dakota Kai just, like, you know, punked out. And then she didn't do anything. And then Shayna Baszler went away. And then Nikki Cross was hanging out in the Undisputed Era.
Era's like playground. Yeah, it starts
exactly.
laughing.
Exactly. Starts laughing. So that's going to be cool. She, like, she didn't get the, you know, she's like, where are the rest of Sanity? Where is Sanity going?
I know.
She's like, they just left and didn't come back? What the
I
heck?
I know. Next, your favorites, Heavy Machinery.
Blah!
Taking on War Raiders.
Yay.
War Raiders won. Not much of a surprise.
Really happy about this. Really wish that it was much more of a squash match, though. And it was a pretty quick match.
It was pretty quick.
Like, you know, I think Tucker got the most offense in for Heavy Machinery. But it, even then, it really wasn't much.
No.
War Raiders went over, and thank God, in quick fashion.
Yeah.
Good for them.
War Raiders are going places, man.
Yeah, they are. I'm kind of surprised. They I almost threw up there. I'm like Dakota Kai.
You almost pulled a me during it.
That's what they should do. Next, every time Shayna Baszler shows up, Dakota Kai just goes to a garbage can.
No, do it like SNL.
a little hose.
Yeah, get the tube going.
Or has to go, it has to go like this, yeah. Like that. Oh, man. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, then we get a Street Profits video package.
And they're getting some workouts in at a basketball court.
Yeah.
Which looked to be next to a freeway.
I do. I didn't even notice that. I do appreciate that they had their ring gear on, though.
Yeah, yeah.
That was extra silly. Yeah, this was stupid. They need to do something with these guys. What injury did that guy have? Like a tooth or something?
Oh, Montez? I don't know. It was some sort of mouth injury. So,
yeah, it was a mouth injury. That's right.
It was
something weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, they're hugely entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know what it's going to take. The tag titles, man, who had them before, what's their faces?
Sanity had them before Undisputed Era.
Sanity had them, and they're
decent. Before that, it was Authors of Pain.
Authors of Pain had them beforehand.
And probably War Raiders are going to have them next.
Yeah. And nobody really, like, between Undisputed Era and War Raiders, nobody really should come between them.
I'd say if TM61 were still faces, maybe.
Oh, and
maybe,
TM61.
If they were still faces, maybe, but they seem to be all in on the heel turn thing.
Yeah, but War Raiders, yeah, you're right.
And War Raiders are faces.
Yeah. So I'd like to see a really, really strong program between War Raiders and TM61. I don't really know where Street Profits fall within that sort of realm, but... You know,
yeah, I don't know either.
I don't really
still seem like they have all the potential in the world.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I just need to see. I need to see them. You know, I like to take potential champions seriously. You know.
Yeah, I know.
So they're entertaining though. I mean, if it was like a dance off, they'd win. Tommaso Ciampa versus Cassius Ohno. Tommaso Ciampa is amazing. Number one, I love the fact that.
What was the thing on his hip?
He's starting to look like a 10 pounds of flesh champion.
It's like all the evil from within him is starting to rise up
right.
and destroy his flesh.
It's starting to rot him away.
I know.
The thing that's great about this is that it's...
Well, this is what I suspected, is that spot where they did, I imagine it's the same taping where he put Gargano through those tables.
Yeah.
He must have scratched the
heck
out of
his head.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. But the great thing about that is, so was the Gargano thing last week or the week before?
The week before.
So it's been 2 weeks for us, okay? Obviously, this is the same taping because that's a fresh wound.
Yeah.
Okay. But to us, it's 2 weeks. So,
and a month since TakeOver.
Yeah. So, storyline for me, it's still a month since that I got busted.
Yeah.
But it hasn't healed.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He's still got a huge shiner on there.
It looks horrible.
I know.
And his leg is starting to, the flesh is eating away from there.
Yeah.
But it fits perfectly with his character because he's like evil.
Yeah.
He's like evil incarnate.
Yeah.
And he's got like no music. And his Titantron has like his logo. And it looks like it's mid-animation that's been paused.
Mm-hmm. I know. His music's a chorus of boos.
He's a mess.
Yeah, he is.
He's a flipping mess.
I know.
And it fits perfectly.
It really does.
Hell of a match with him and Ono.
Yeah.
Real hard hitting.
I really hope they keep the eye injury. Like use makeup or something.
Because
it's just perfect.
It really is. It fits perfectly. I'm telling you, man. He looks like necrotizing toxin.
I really feel like they've really gone next level with Tommaso Ciampa as far as using metaphor and symbolism to tell the story.
Yes.
With the crutch and the knee brace and now the eye injury. There's layers of depth to all of that.
He looks like a Fallout character.
Yeah. But it enhances the story they're telling.
Yeah. No, I love it, man. It's great. Anyways, they had a terrific match. Like I said, super physical. Ciampa went over.
That's a new move he did, I think. That kind of it started out as a neck breaker, and then on the way down, he turned into almost like
who
a cutter.
It reminded me of somebody I just saw what was the...
Oh, Buddy Murphy did some crazy DDT thing on
205
Live, yeah.
Yeah, it looked kind of the same. Looked kind of
slightly.
The same as that, yeah.
Yeah, because Buddy Murphy had him up over his shoulder like
this. He gets
this.
Him up this, and then he turns him
he
over
He turns on
face.
The way down, then DDT, but Ciampa did... Like a traditional neck breaker on the way down.
That he turned over.
Turned over into like a cutter.
Yeah, that was cool.
Super physical, hard hitting. Ciampa picked up the win with that move. I don't know what it's called. And then afterwards, he attacked Cassius Ono with his knee brace, hit him with it, and then got him through the ropes, put the knee brace across his face, pulled back.
Yeah. No, yeah, Becky Lynch's teddy bear here in chat mentions a Fallout character too. Because he does. He looks like, it's like one of those mutant guys. Or, mm-hmm. You know, you run into some guy at Diamond City, and he's like, half his face is gone. That was great.
Oh, yeah. Alex C says, at one point, I thought he was going to scoop out his own eye.
I know. That's what it looked like.
Ono was going after the eye pretty hard.
Man, there was that part when Ciampa went back at him. Like, the ref turned away or something.
Oh, no. He got like I know. He got like all four... Four fingers.
Did he lick his finger first before he did? I swear.
It looks like he scooped in his eye.
Oh, it was awesome.
Under his eyelid.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, it looked like kind of Ospreay's new finisher too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. So anyways, that was fun. Before we get started on questions, I'm going to continue on reading off our patrons.
Yes.
For the month of March. And then next week, I'll continue on with the month of April because that comes after March. And again, at the $1 Patreon mark, just $1, you get a shout out here on the show. It's a really great deal. And you also get to be part of the Friendo Discord thing. Rail2Sweet the Guy, Adam Darwin, the Not So Jolly Roger, Cobbler815, Christopher Garrett, Neil Blackmore, Andrew Milet or Milet, Mailet, Mailet or Melee, one of the two. Brian Kelly, Sonny Jarrett, Joaquin Lapuz, Anders Find, Mr. William Blair, Matthew Turk, Michael McDevitt, Andrew Montroy, Taylor Rusko, Brandon M. Munyon, Andy Bravo, Falklands Fred, Eldon Spearing, The Original Caffeinator, that name sounds familiar, Ryan Heiklack, Jason Maxwell, Starve Inc., Minnesota Joe, Marcos at Real Time Tech, RJ Henninger, Elias Gould, the friendo from Saudi Arabia, Michael Andrews, Jason Camacho, Christopher Wallace, big, notorious B.I.G.,
yeah,
Miguel, Minnesota Bam Bam, Rhett Davis, Jay Sellers, Chris Flavel, GM Spud, Matthew Minitoli, Kevin Hune, Jacob Tripp, Chris Rodriguez, Carl Darlow, the Perfect Hosses manager, Ice King, William Knowles, and PJ Segundo, and that does all of March.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for your generous support. We really appreciate it. Now, let's answer some questions.
Yeah. Hollywood Hulk Logan. Sorry. When it eventually happens, what do you guys see happening with Ciampa and Gargano in regards to main roster? Do they get separate call-ups to opposite shows, same show to continue the feud, or something else? Thanks, friendo.
I could see something similar along the lines of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I mean,
I imagine it'll be a thing where maybe they'll get called up to separate shows, but they'll always come back around to this feud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Although they've kept Kevin and Sami together pretty much in perpetuity, right? When Kevin Owens came over as the new face of America, didn't Sami Zayn come over at the same time?
Yeah, they both went over to SmackDown, yeah.
Yeah.
Braun's grappling hook. What would be Jason Jett's ceiling in real life?
Head of creative.
Yeah, man.
Right.
Aaron Moreno is a huge Tony Nese fan, but they're giving him such a weird path. Last couple of weeks, he was facing it up, and this week, he's healing it up.
Yeah.
What do you guys think WWE is trying to do with him? Where's his ceiling, and how would you book him? I'm hoping it's a situation where, he starts to be successful, falls into some old bad habits,
mm-hmm.
namely the posing, counting the abs, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that'll kind of end up costing him. We saw it last night a little bit. It didn't cost him the match, but it allowed his opponent to get a couple shots in.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's the direction. It's not clearly defined yet, but we've only had a matter of a couple of weeks to see what they're doing. It's kind of a small sample size still, so who knows?
I think if used to his fullest potential, and that's a pretty big if, but if used to his fullest potential, he's definitely Cruiserweight champion material. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of him sort of carving out that spot for himself.
Oh, that's a great question. GM Spud. You get to go on a one-hour ride-along with a member of the Cruiserweight division. Who do you pick?
Rockstar Spud. Probably has a lot of great stories.
Brian Kendrick.
Oh, yeah. He's probably got a ton of great stories, too. He's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Hobbs. Do you think we'll ever get a 205 Live cage match or Elimination Chamber?
Man,
probably a cage match wouldn't surprise me.
Probably when we get a ladder match at some point.
I'm not sure about Elimination Chamber. Yeah, no, that'd be good. You okay there?
Dropped a bunch of water on the floor.
Oh, man.
Baron the Cat Taxidermist. Who is the next homegrown NXT talent become a big deal?
Homegrown. Who's home? Who'd you consider homegrown?
I mean, I more or less consider Velveteen Dream homegrown to an extent. I know he wrestled some in the indies, but I don't think it was a lot.
He wasn't a name who came in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's like guys who are Ricochet who came in as a big deal and everybody
talked
about. Yeah,
Adam Cole, yeah.
Adam Cole, exactly. I mean, like Kevin Steen and
even like Aleister Black.
Yeah.
Tommy Yen.
Yeah, he was
name
a known
on the independent circuit. Yeah.
Kind of surprising they changed his name now that you think about it.
Well, I guess he wasn't so well known that so much of the talent that's on TV is people they've brought in.
Yeah.
Kona Reeves.
Okay. Kona Reeves. I guess right now, Authors of Pain. I know he's probably talking about singles, but
yeah.
Authors of Pain. I mean, if the Street Profits ever win the titles.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, you could, if Montez Ford, eventually goes solo, I think he has the trappings or he has the makings of a pretty big star. I think we both feel that way if he gets his mouth taken care of.
Dangerous sociopath. No way, Jose. Do you notice Mustafa Ali looking over his shoulder in his promo to check if a train was coming down the tracks?
Yeah.
Power Rank, other dangerous places Ali could record promos, like the scene record one in a tiger pen at the zoo.
Yeah.
Alex Foster says either while skydiving or exploring a volcano.
Yeah. That's good, yeah. Or apparently in any residential neighborhood in Hawaii now. That must be terrifying.
Oh, gosh.
That's got to be horrible. I was thinking remember the scene in the beginning of Superman 2? At Niagara Falls.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if he records it like that little kid who was like on the ledge.
Yeah,
he was like jacking
and
around.
Happens to fall into.
It happens to fall in. Yeah, so that's a good one.
That wasn't the beginning. That was the middle of it. The beginning was wasn't the beginning that the Eiffel Tower, or was that the first movie where he rescues Lois Lane?
Yeah. The Niagara Falls wasn't in the beginning.
No, that's because that's when Clark and Lois went on that trip together there, but that wasn't the very beginning.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Close to the beginning.
He wasn't depowered at that point? Man, I don't know.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't because he rescued the kid as Superman.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you're right. In any event, the Niagara Falls scene. Damn it, I had a good one and you just jacked me up.
Sorry.
Hold on. Oh, so I've been listening to that podcast that you recommended, Caliphate.
Yeah.
So on the border of Turkey and Syria. What if you did it there? That's a horribly dangerous place.
Yeah.
Man. Yowza.
Did you finish episode 3?
No, I'm like 10 minutes into it or however long the drive is. Holy moly.
It's intense, man.
That is intense. You kind of spoiled a lot of stuff for me, though.
Well, it's one thing to hear it from me. It's another thing to hear.
Yeah, you're right. I know.
From the principals involved. So.
Yeah.
Dylan Scribner, if you guys could have any main roster wrestler go back to the way they were at NXT, who would it be? Bob Roode and Bayley seem like they would benefit the most. Yeah, Bob Roode. Bob Roode. If you could take a wrestler and revert them back to what their character was in NXT.
Oh, I thought he meant to go back to.
The character.
Yeah, are you kidding me? Yeah, Bob Roode. Absolutely.
I don't feel like Bayley is that huge of a departure from what she was.
I don't
in
think
NXT.
She is either.
It's just how the booking has been wildly different.
Oh, I like this question. Mr. Lipkin Unlimited. I feel the only way Cassius Ohno is going to have success on Maine is as part of a tag team. If you were to pair Ohno with someone, who would you pair him
Cesaro.
With? And you can't choose Cesaro. No. I know. That's a bummer. It would. Oh,
Kings of Wrestling, man.
I know. Make them a faction. Make them a three-man faction. That'd be great.
So can't be Cesaro, huh?
What a bummer.
It's like, hey, can you let's team up Cassius with Cesaro? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Let's see. Who else is on the roster? Let's go to SmackDown.
Like I said, man, put him with Authors of Pain. Because they need a new... Look, man, ever since they kicked Paul Ellering out of the group...
Samoa Joe.
Oh, that's a good one. Ooh, I like that one.
Or Nakamura. They've established in NXT that they're friends. Apparently, Cassius Ohno is friends with everybody.
Yeah.
He seems like a friendly guy.
He seems like the most friendly guy there is. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, Steve. Damian R., now that Sabatelli and Moss have split power rank, who does Riddick Moss co-own a car with now? Dan Matha.
Oh. Yeah, I could see that. The Wayne train.
Heavy Machinery.
No, he hates them. They're so, like, they're like slobs. He doesn't like that. He wants somebody who's, like,
but
fit.
He likes, like, construction equipment.
Who?
Riddick Moss. So they co-own, like, a bulldozer.
Yeah, okay. They just drive that to work?
Yeah, or a dump truck.
From their condo. The Wayne train. I just had a scary thought. In terms of NXT wrestlers who get to Maine and Vince reduces them to nothing but an entrance and a catchphrase, like Bobby Roode,
yeah.
He thinks Adam Cole could be in the line of fire.
Oh.
I think they've well established the Undisputed Era
as a
thing beyond Bay Bay.
Yeah.
But I see the point.
Yeah, I know.
It's not an invalid point.
No, it's not an invalid point. Dr. Funkenstein. Power rank the top five women to take the title off Baszler, and why is number one Dakota Kai? I mean, that's the storyline that should be the payoff of the storyline.
Yeah, it should be, but you totally know it's not going to be that.
Yeah, probably not.
I think, if anything, it's going to be Dakota Kai will, you know, stop crapping her pants long enough to actually face Shayna Baszler and have a really, really strong showing in a loss.
Yeah.
But that's the best case scenario for that.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case is she just gets, you know.
I'm going to say number one on my list is Candice LeRae.
I could see that. Nemo asks, with Nikki Cross playing on Undisputed Era's playground and freaking out Dakota Kai, power rank Nikki places Nikki can randomly show up and freak people out. You got problems there, man.
Just dropped my phone. Wait, what was the question?
Where else in the NXT backstage universe, or in general, power rank places Nikki Cross can show up? How about on the train tracks next to Mustafa Ali?
There you go.
Because I feel like she'd play near the train tracks.
Like someone goes, like the craft service area, like there's a bucket of red vines.
Yeah.
And they opened up and she just looks at him and goes, ha 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 ha.
Yeah. She opens up a new PlayStation box.
PlayStation.
That's all good.
Something like that. Iconic Bud Ryan, when do you think Ali will get a turn with the title? He's super over with the crowd, has amazing talent and charisma. I'm worried he'll cool off before he's pushed. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
He probably should have won at WrestleMania.
Maybe he'll be the guy who takes it off of Buddy Murphy.
Could be. Maybe they're laying the groundwork for that story.
Yeah. And then, so here's my guess. It's going to be Buddy Murphy champion, Mustafa Ali champion, and then Drew Gulak. That's going to be my guess.
All right. That's good.
I think that's a good line of succession right
yes.
there. Danjamin. After hearing the new eHarmony.com radio commercial, them claiming to have the algorithm, could this be Paul Ellering's new job? Power rank new jobs for Paul Ellering. Well, mathematician. Or math teacher.
No, he gets a job at YouTube since he knows algorithms.
Oh, man, that's a good one. Yeah, or Instagram or Twitter because they're all algorithm-based, but YouTube should be number one. I've got the algorithm demonetized.
I have the algorithm for Prime monetization.
That's good. More questions. Colin asks, that Diamond Heat DDT from Buddy Murphy was better than most finishers in the WWE right now, and he just did it as a standard move. He obviously can be cruiserweight champ, but what is his ceiling beyond that? Given that he's always on the precipice of being too fat to be in 205 Live, I mean, if he really makes a hell of an impression mm-hmm. on 205 Live mm-hmm. the way we think he can, man, I wouldn't surprise me. He's one of the few guys who I could see. It's kind of him, Cedric, and Drew for, I think, guys who could totally just go to Maine.
I think Mustafa Ali could at this point, too.
I think he could, too. But just guys who have positioned themselves, and Mustafa's there, too. But I don't know. I just sort of see those three guys as I could totally see them going to Maine.
Yep.
Like at some point, they got to do something beyond 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
If 205 Live continues to be kind of what it is, and I hope that it grows and grows and grows and becomes its own thing where like you have hot crowds. And I still don't know. I mean, we know that there's an obvious answer as to how they can do that, but you know, it doesn't seem like they're going to anytime soon. So you would think that going on and fighting for, you know, bigger titles would be the
yeah.
thing.
Fred the Shed says he hasn't watched NXT since the first draft back in 2016 due to losing interest in wrestling as a whole. However, watching your recaps has made me want to catch up on it. So do you think I should go back and watch all the shows for the little details and backstories or just watch the takeovers and fill in the gaps with YouTube clips and recaps?
Whatever you have time for, I guess. But I don't think – I mean, every – I'm not going to say every takeover, but...
The last five or six takeovers have all been really excellent.
I'd go back to War Games. You're right, they have been. I'd go to War Games and just go from there probably, you know? And
I'd then probably go a little further back than that.
Yeah. Well, again, it kind of depends on how much time he has.
Well, I know, obviously. But he's asking if he should just watch takeovers or actually start watching the weekly episodic shows.
Yeah. I guess start with the takeovers.
Yeah. Like, if you just want to bring yourself up to date on what's going on now, you know what would be interesting is go back all the way back to NXT TakeOver Orlando mm-hmm. because that's when Nakamura has mm-hmm. his last NXT match
mm-hmm.
and so that gets you up to date on the whole kind of current crop of talent.
That's true, yeah.
You see Aleister Black's first match.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You see...
probably Almas and then...
It's Almas and Aleister Black was the very first or second match of the show.
Okay.
Second match. Sandy's on that show. But then you see, you know, people that are kind of on their way out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of people that were just brought in. And that cover is going, all, you know, going back to Brooklyn this last year. So you see Adam Cole debut.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'd probably do. Just get the last year or so worth of takeovers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what, five of them?
Yeah.
Something like
but
that.
But it's wrestling, so you can literally just hop on any time and be good with it. But yeah, no, I think that's a good idea. Go back to Orlando.
Where it all started.
Anyways, I think that's good. You got like 50 minutes in the can. That's good,
fine.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it for show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Here's some music for you.
Oh, yeah, music.
Hilton's on. He's on his
game. He's on point today. Music. Good job, Hilt.
Yeah, man. Way to go. Anyways, that's it for the show. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.